Hello, boils and ghouls. It's your old pal, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And guess what, kiddies? You are now tuned in to PBD Horror Podcast. Pleasant screams.
Hey, what's going on? You're now tuned in to PVD Horror. I'm Brandon, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dave. Today, we're going to do a little short review about our experience watching Late Night with the Devil. This is going to be one of the biggest films of the year so far. We had the chance to actually check it out, and we were also invited to the UK premiere. That sucked that we couldn't make it. It was just...
I had to take a pass on that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was just like, damn, like... If they gave us enough time, like, hey, like a month in advance, you know what I mean? But it was kind of like, what, a week or two?
Yeah, yeah. that would have been sick. I would have loved to do that.
So, we were able to just check out the screener instead. We settled for that instead of the premiere. But yeah. One time, if they have something, a premiere or something closer by, we'll definitely go. I think that always happens when we're always thrown like the premieres for the...
always something.
For the big premieres. It's... either the week of, or you know, it's just we have shit going on that we can't we can't make it. So but yeah, this was a great film. Dave, you want to sit there and kind of give like the whole plot about...
absolutely I'm excited too, because I really really enjoyed this film. So this film is about a live television broadcaster who has like a late night show, kind of along the lines of like Johnny Carson, or more current day, like Jimmy Fallon or whatever, Jimmy Kimmel. So basically this is set in 1977. He's gone through some ups and downs in his career. It sounds like at one point he was really high, but then ratings start to take a dip, and he might have a little bit of a dark side to him, doing some deals with like some cult type deals, which we don't know the extent of. That's kind of alluded to in the beginning. They do like this quick like review of his career and where we're at present day, when we are at the live broadcasting of his 1977 Halloween special. And he needs to really ramp up his ratings. I also didn't mention his wife, Minnie, I think is her name in the movie. She passed away from cancer, I believe. That was something that was kind of like widely known to his audience, and like his ratings had dipped after that. Maybe the content of the show kind of suffered from the loss or whatever. So he's doing this Halloween special. It's so cool. It's like this really, really like vintage retro aesthetic through the whole movie. I love how they made the movie look like it could be something that took place in 1977.
Yeah.
The graphics, the set design, everything about it. And it feels like we're watching an actual Halloween special too, the way that the movie was like laid out for us. And he has a set of guests that are going to be appearing in the show. We're actually going to avoid spoilers here, right? Because
yeah, we're not going to go into it because it's still not out yet.
So if I go too far, it's cut me off. But essentially his guests are going to be like, they almost come out in a set, like almost like you're watching an anthology. Because the first guest is like, he can talk to dead people. The second guest is kind of this guy who debunks a bunch of stuff. And then the third guest, which is, you know, we see in the trailer, is a young girl who, you know, is possessed, I guess you would say. And he actually does like a live, what would you call it? Not seance, but the person that works with her is able to get her to speak through the possessed person's voice, right?
Yeah. So, and like you said, you know, we don't want to give a little bit too much away, but yeah, it kind of goes back and forth where I think each guest, like you said, it was more like an anthology, but like each guest starts to feed off each other. You know what I mean?
It started to go that way
and so, like trying to call each other out, you know? So it became like this big thing, but like you said, the style of it, the setup of it being like in the 70s and everything like that. And like right when I was watching it, I had messaged you and I said, dude, this reminds me of Fred Vogel's movie, The Last Interview. Mm-hmm. The way that it was all set up, you know, like when even when they were doing the interview on the TV and taking the commercial breaks and then going and talking, like this has the same setup. And like, you know, when they would go back and cut and go back into the dressing room or behind the scenes and kind of talk about what was going on and what happened. I think that like this movie just has so many layers to it that, you know, I think that any fan of just any film or genre will like appreciate this, not just horror, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's cool.
It's weird. This movie is getting like the label horror comedy. Yeah. And there's definitely like some funny moments, but I wouldn't consider this a horror comedy in my opinion.
Yeah, but I think it kind of gives you that vibe no matter what. Like a late night talk show is a comedy, you know what I mean? So like Conan and everybody would sit there and do the jokes. This has all that, you know what I mean? So like the guests and everything like that at times. But
the audience members are kind of funny too. There's like one guy that they call on or whatever. He starts kind of like cracking jokes at the guy who's can, you know, talk to dead people, and he's like, is there a this person in the audience, then is there a Peter, and the guy kind of like starts riffing off of that, and it's kind of funny.
But it's crazy, this film's also being kind of labeled like as a found footage horror film.
Interesting. Did you know? Yes. I didn't know that, but you know, it's interesting. That makes me think, like, back to that argument that we had posed about like what is a found footage movie?
Because it's like the way that the way that this film set up. I don't know. Did this actually air?
This is supposed to be like large portions of this movie are supposed to be as if we are an actual.
Yeah, time watching.
But then we also get the quick glimpses back, and it's actually a different type of camera that's like a different type of camera. I don't know how you would say it. That shows us like the behind the scenes footage, like when you know they go off.
That's
air.
What I'm saying. When it goes black and white.
Yeah, but so it's like a hybrid.
Yeah, but like going back and kind of looking at it, do we know? Because I know most of the time, like the late night shows and stuff like that, they're kind of pre-taped. You know what I mean? So. Do we actually know if this film was, the showing of the late night show was like put on air because of all the shit that happened?
Yeah. The sense that they give is as though it's supposed to be.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if they're labeling it as found footage like that, because it's like, oh, this didn't air because of this happened and all this stuff.
Oh, that would make it found footage.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If it wasn't screened first, then that would make it like, they found it.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot that happened and like, you know, with the end. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm not
interesting.
Sure.
Interesting concepts too. And, you know, I would love if people listening would share their thoughts on whether you would, if you've seen it, would you consider this to be found footage or not?
Yeah. And I think it's pretty cool too, because, like as I had told you, I think that like how big this film is, I think that, you know, we had seen online that usually there, you know, some people that don't have the opportunities to usually watch screeners and everything, they had like a lot of horror groups had it, you know? And so I think that they're really trying to push this film and trying to reach different audiences and trying to get it like, you know, for Shudder to push it a little bit more. But I think that was cool. You know, a lot of people in the horror community have seen it so far. So I think that the marketing and everything for this film, they're trying to push it to the next level.
I think that's great too, because like, honestly, this is going to get released on Shudder. Mm-hmm. And I think that this film is like, everybody that I've talked to about this film is really hyped about it. Like there's people sharing this, you know, every comment I've ever seen about this has all been all excitement. And the fact that it's going to be on Shudder is like such a great move for Shudder. They definitely picked a winner with this one as far as like getting access to it and having it on their platform. Mm-hmm. It's going to draw a lot of attention. It definitely is. I think this is probably one of the more like anticipated indie or, you know, non-theatrical release films. So
David's just been working with Shudder so, you know, close-knit for the last few years doing the Chainsaw Awards, you know, the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards that air on Shudder. So it's cool to kind of see him like embrace everything horror and then, you know, have this big movie coming out and being involved with Shudder still. So
Yeah, shout out to Shudder for this. Shout out to, I think it's Vertigo releasing for being attached to this. I think even IFC Films might be attached to this. I saw them. They had the trailer posted. So a lot of people are backing this film and seem to have faith in it. And I can see why. It's just the final product is, I personally just like think they nailed it. Like they nailed what they were going for.
But that's why I said to you, like we did the review for Imaginary. What's in the theaters right now is not for us. Yeah. These platforms are catering to us. You know what I mean? We're getting what we need on these smaller, well, they're not small, but, you know, compared to the theater, you know, that these are big networks that they have for streaming services for horror fans. And, you know, we've been getting nothing but like great films, you know, Shudder, like you said, Shudder's been like killing it. Yeah. They had probably the best horror movie last year. Out, you know, Evil Lurks, and then having this, and so, yeah. Shout out to Shudder, man. So if you don't have Shudder, definitely subscribe to it. Check it out. You know, if you don't have, like, if you've never had Shudder before, try the free pass, and check this movie out when it releases on the 22nd. What was it? The 19th.
So the 19th on Shudder. And then I do think it's going to get somewhat of a theatrical release if you can find it on the 22nd. I would actually love to see this in the theater.
Although yeah, I would too.
Just as good watching it at home. But yeah, I think it would be a cool experience. And, you know, if you can get to the theater to check it out, I just feel like you're going to, the like being immersed in that, like I said, the aesthetic to this feels so genuine that like I would just love to get that experience of watching it on the big screen and just kind of like zero distractions and just being honed in on it. It really did feel like you were watching a movie from, you know, the 70s at some point. So I was like, damn, this is cool.
Yep. And the film was actually shot in Australia, you know, so that was cool. I know that Australia usually has a lot of like key things. So like if you make films down there, like you can utilize a lot of resources and stuff like that and kind of get the film shot a little cheaper or like it's taken care of on a certain budget. So I think that's cool. You know what I mean? So like all the visual effects and everything like that, there's like the budget that kind of like free reign to kind of do whatever, kind of like Talk to Me, you know?
Yep.
So.
Yep. As soon as I finished watching this, I was like really excited about how much I enjoyed it. And the first thing I thought of is like, I feel like this is 100% going to be on my top 10 at the end of the year.
Mm.
I don't know what else is going to be on there, but like if I were to already pencil a film in, I don't know what place it will be, but I have a feeling it's going to be on my top 10 at the end of the year.
Mm. And I've seen like a cool story that, you know, the brothers that created this film, they offered, you know, David the role after reading an article that David wrote in Fangoria about the regional TV horror being a host and everything. Hmm. And he accepted being like they sent him like a booklet that resembled like the 1970s TV guide that's in the movie. So after David's seen that, he was like, okay, like I want to be a part of this. Like these guys are like taking it to that level. And like we said, like the way they shot it and everything was just spot on, you know?
Yeah. As far as, you know, the visual effects, the gore, good job. Mostly it's like, I don't think there's any CGI. I think it's all practical effects.
Yeah. I think it's all practical.
I mean, there's a couple of scenes that they probably had to, you know, do some sort of computer generated things, but for the most part, like the gore is, I think it's all practical. It all looked great. It's not like it doesn't bank on the gore, which I think is great, because when the gore comes or those shock moments come, it's like it's welcomed and it's awesome and it's kind of shocking in some ways, but like the buildup and like all the creepiness that's just happening is what really makes this story. So like anything they do on top of that, there's a few scenes in particular that come to mind. I think they're just like, oh damn, this it just makes this even better.
Mm. Yeah, and it's like a complete mindfuck, you know what I mean? So yeah. I think that's one of the things that we appreciate more, like as we get older, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just about like those visual effects and everything like that. It's about where the film can like leave you and take you. And then like, you know, like kind of like a film, like we always talk about it, a film that makes you think about it even more after you leave the theater, you know what I mean? And you question and shit. And so I think that like this is definitely one of those films. And like, we're still talking about it, like Taking Pieces Away, where it's just like, it's found footage. And it's like, well, wait a minute, is it found footage? Like, how was it found footage? Was it not aired? Like, that's the type of shit that, you know what I mean? Like, we start to appreciate a little bit more just the details and, you know, people not just doing cash grabs and trying to cash in on certain shit. Like, they're like actually in love with the genre and making films and shit. So it's pretty cool.
It does this really interesting thing at the beginning of the film where they do this like quick intro thing where they kind of catch us up to speed of what's happened before, you know, the night of. And I was thinking about it. I was like, there's a lot in that little short, like, I forget if it's like five, if it's even 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot in there that actually even like ties into later stuff. Not gonna, you know, get into it, but like, it's interesting how like, I didn't even like, I could have predicted some of the stuff, but like it all happened so fast. And then you get so lost in the story that you're not sitting there trying to like pre-predict what's going to happen. You're just kind of like, I found myself just kind of like lost and like not really wanting some of the segments to end. And like, just kind of like, all right, what's going to happen next? Just surprise me, show me whatever you're going to show me. But there's so much that's in that beginning. But I also like that they took the time to actually like build the character, build his motivation, build his, kind of even his despair and like his sadness. He just lost his wife. He hadn't really gotten over that. And it's kind of like when you see the character, you can almost like feel all those things as he's like trying his best to create something successful. And he's like so worried about like, oh, what if this doesn't land, you know, like is the show, what's going to happen to my career in the show?
And that's the thing, like, you know, I mean, I was going to bring up also, and you just kind of like touched on that, you know, really look at it, and so it's in the 70s, and then even in the 80s and the 90s, late night talk shows definitely played a big role, you know, in our lives, because it was just like, we didn't have all these channels, you know, we didn't have all these channels that we have, like 100 200 300 900 channels with nothing on. It was just like everybody's watching the same stuff. So it was either you were watching, you know, horror movies or comedies or whatever. We had what, 75 channels tops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or if you didn't have cable, late night shows were like always on. That was entertainment. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? There wasn't no other outlets where you could see like your favorite musicians and everybody or stand up comedians performing on a show. Like, this was all it. Like, getting your news. Yeah. You know what I mean? Your current
that
event.
Used to be how musicians actually
got their
became
break.
Known. They would go on like Johnny Carson or whatever.
And so that's what I'm saying. And it's like you think about it. You know, we had Dave Letterman,
Arsenio Hall,
everyone. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then they became like this role. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, what did you see that last night? He was on this show. Like, this
freaking
was,
Jason Voorhees was on Arsenio Hall and like that epic.
Exactly. And then you
moment.
You grow so much with these hosts.
Yeah.
And like you said, they built that up in that first 5 minutes and made you like catch up, like how we would sit there and deal with it. Just like watching Arsenio Hall, everybody for like a full year. You know what I mean? Like, when think about it, like when Arsenio Hall, when you found out he had AIDS, you know what I mean? Like, his whole breakdown, it was just like always on. It was like, doo 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 doo, extra, extra on all the other networks and shit. And it was like update to that. Or even just when, what's his name? Fuck. He got in his car blew up. Fucking,
Is that Jay Leno?
Yeah, Jay Leno.
Like a Jay Leno thing, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you have so much connection with these guys from being talk show hosts. You know what I mean?
And that was before everything was divided. So you're like, you only watch, like nowadays, I feel like because of politics, certain people won't watch certain ones. Like back then, it was like everybody just watched. Like you watched him because like either you prefer Dave Letterman over Leno or something like that, but it wasn't because of like you knew what kind of political jokes they were going to do or something like that. It was definitely a different time. And there's moments that like back then of those talk shows that like we'll always remember, and they became a part of like pop culture, the pop culture Zeist or whatever you call it, Zeitgeist. Yeah. But now it's like, yeah, it's different, I guess. We still have the talk show host, but it's just different.
So it's like funny. So I had seen like a few reviews and like people leaving stuff and they would be like, I would so definitely be a night owl. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I
would
definitely be a part of that, be a part of the night owl crew.
Yeah.
So I was like, see, like that's what it is. They play a role in the world. And so they definitely captured that role with Jack. So
the other thing I really loved, like I said, I love the set design, the aesthetic of the film, but then they would do these little like, we're going to take a break. And I love the way he would like go into the breaks. It really felt like you're watching a show.
Yeah.
And then they would do graphics and they had like, because it was the Halloween special, they'd be like these like spooky Halloween graphics along with the like, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
They did a lot of cool stuff with that, that just like made it feel like it was vintage and retro. So it was cool.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like, if you're going to do this type of stuff, definitely go all in or not at all, because you're going to get negative feedback. And I think that's what happened. I think that, you know, we talked about like so many people being a part of this, you know, like Shudder and IFC Films. They probably watched this movie and was just like, okay, like this is done well. We want to be a part of this. You know what I mean? So, hey, that's what it's all about, man.
See, just, I got nervous when we got access to the screener because I was like, oh man, this movie has been so anticipated. And now they're, you know, they're kind of showing some screeners. So does that mean that like it's not going to be as good as we were hoping? But it actually went the exact opposite. And it kind of exceeded my expectations. So
yeah, even Stephen King, he said this film was brilliant, you know? So
oh, nice. That's an endorsement.
Yeah. You know, you put that, slap that on the box, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Stephen King.
So how many stars are we giving it?
I'm going to roll with, what are we going on, a 5 or 10?
Yeah, we can do 5.
Do a 5. I'll give it a 4.5.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was. So 4.5. Right.
Yeah. I'll give it a 4.5. Like I said, you know, the film was done really good, but I'm not saying like it's a perfect, perfect film. You know what I mean? I think that.
Got to reserve that 5. You got to reserve it.
Yeah, I think because it's like when you go into it, I think that a lot of people are going to, they're not going to have that same experience with us, because it's also, we're talking about people that are like the young audience that go into this and not really having that connection with late night TV. Like we, like it wasn't a choice. It was that was what was on. You know what I mean? Now it's a choice. They have all these channels to watch whatever.
That'll be interesting to see how a younger audience connects with this film. Kind of like the opposite of what we were thinking with Imaginary.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that they would prefer it more than we would. But I think it'll be interesting to see if it's a little bit opposite here.
I don't think they're really going to truly understand it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Living in that time.
Bunch of dummies. Just kidding. Love y'all youngins.
Love you.
Not in that way, though.
Yeah, that's what to say.
All right. So this was definitely a good one. Check it out. March 19th on Shudder. March 22nd for theatrical release. If you can find it at a theater near you, definitely do. Otherwise, do not miss this on Shudder.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, if you're in Rhode Island, I'm pretty sure the Providence Place Showcase will have it, because that is the theater that usually has all, you know, those 1 week run movies.
Yeah, they get a lot of the limited theatrical ones, yeah.
Yep, so definitely check the Providence Place Mall location for times and listings when it's released.
Yep.
Don't want to miss it.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, thank you for checking out our review of Late Night with the Devil. We will see you later. Have a good night.
Take it easy.
Game over.